There's nothing wrong with being a baby. And I am stating that as I welcome everybody to day two of this very, very beautiful teaching session that we're having. Yesterday was wonderful. Feedback has been good. I know there were issues with, you know, logging in and all for some, you know, there was a technical itch from our own end, you know, that added to that. But I believe it can only get better, you know, here on Word Up is, you know, also wording ourselves up. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and, you know, spiritual songs. But the let the word, and that's the part we're emphasizing. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you in all wisdom. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you in all wisdom. So we're here saying, hey, let's word up. Let's get on the word. Let's focus on the word. Let's get more and more, you know, excited and in tune where the word of God is concerned. So I said a few minutes ago, I need to say it again. There's nothing wrong with being a spiritual baby. There's nothing wrong. There's so much I could say, right, about those stages, especially when we try to get into the Greek words and then you see what babyhood is and all of that. Really, really, there's so much content that if we meet every weekend, we will still be on stages of growth, because when you learn about stages of growth, you also might need to understand characteristics of those, you know, stages. So at this point, I might want to recommend Kenny Hagin's book, Growing Up Spiritually. All right. You would love it. He dealt classically, all right, with the stages of growth, with the characteristics of each stage, what and how babies behave. All right. You know, you look at babyhood, you look at childhood, you look at adulthood, you see that. And then it just blows open, throws a lot of light on scripture for you. And then the eyes of understanding is enlightened. All right. So Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you in all wisdom. So, hey, welcome to Word Up. I'm your host. All right. And it's just a beautiful privilege to be here. So yesterday, a quick run through. We talked about the three parts of man, all right? The three parts, the composition of man from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, where Paul said, I pray that God will sanctify completely your whole spirit and soul and body, all right? And that you'll be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus, that God will sanctify completely your whole spirit and soul and body. So you find people saying, oh, body, mind, and spirit. You find people say mind, body, and spirit. All right. While there might not be nothing wrong with that, generally speaking, it is safer. Please understand, it is safer to leave the arrangement the exact way the Bible puts it. Spirit, soul, body. All right. Spirit, soul, body. The first and most important part first. All right. All right. Then the next most important part, the body is not important. You have to get that. It might be least important, but not important. Because if you do not have a body, if you do not take care of your body effectively and something goes wrong with the body, it affects the capacity and ability of your spirit to remain here on the earth. And without your spirit, you can't legally remain right here. So the body is not unimportant, all right? That's why I said not important. So it's not because it's unimportant or the body's useless or the body's just flesh and trouble. No, it's not. No, it's not. Your body is a gift given to you by God to be on this earth. Your body is your earth suit, all right? Your earth suit, all right? Through which, in which you carry out your divine assignment. So you need the body, all right? Checking out of the body means you've moved into your heavenly reward, your next phase. So here we are, glory to God. And we're looking at that. So spirit, soul, body, three parts of man. The importance of the spirit, importance of the soul, importance of body. We'll look at that. Then three types of man. We looked at that yesterday. The natural man, the carnal man, and the spiritual man. Three types. Three types. Right? The natural man is not born again. The carnal guy, carnal, fleshly, is the one that gives more room to his or her flesh. All right? Giving room to the flesh much more than the spirit. And then the spiritual man is the one who is advancing more and more in growth, all right, learning to put the flesh under, yielding to the leadings of the spirit, to the nudgings of God. That is a spiritual man. So And then, of course, stages of growth, the three stages of growth: babyhood, childhood, and adulthood. All right. Babyhood, three stages of growth. Babyhood, childhood, adulthood. Three stages of growth. Babyhood, childhood, adulthood. And I love the way John puts it in 1 John chapter 2. We looked at that beautifully yesterday. John said there are little children, all right, young men, and then we have the fathers. Little children. And I said, little children, he said to them, your sins are forgiven. So little children might need that consolation, the comfort, the encouragement, the knowledge of the Father and how much the Father loves them. He said to young men, he said, because you overcome the wicked one. So the young men are not allowing things overcome them and fall and get up, fall and get up, fall and get up. The young men are fighting, they're winning, they're excelling, they're taking authority using, you know, the knowledge that they gain. And then the fathers, you find the fathers there, they've come into maturity. All right. They've come to maturity. It's not a state of retirement. You've heard fathers. No. And I love the fact that John said, you know the one that is from the beginning. It means they've come into that depth of relationship, depth of revelation. All right. So quite some quick recap there from yesterday. I remember also I asked us to draw three circles. If you remember that, there's a circle you draw and then you draw right outside a much larger circle, and then right outside that, a much more larger circle. All right. You draw one circle, then the next circle. So the circle in the core, the very small one, not because it is small, but because you have to draw two other circles outside it. But that innermost circle is your spirit. Then the one right outside it is your soul. And then the one after that is your body. So the scripture that helps you understand this Bible in Proverbs and the fourth chapter and the 23rd verse, chapter four, verse 23, it says, guard your heart. Guard your heart with all diligence. Guard your heart with all diligence, and out of it will flow all the forces of this life. You guard your heart with all diligence, and out of it will flow all the forces of this life. So in that innermost circle, your heart, your spirit. But I said yesterday, which I would explain better today, that the heart is not just the spirit. In my own understanding, your heart is your spirit and your soul together, because the heart is the core. Now, the spirit is a real you. We'll look at that. But the heart is the core. And watch this now. The information from your spirit is better handled, you know, translated, interpreted by your soul. The spirit and soul are always together. When Lazarus died and the rich man died in the book of Luke, where Jesus talked about it, the rich man died, he was buried, Lazarus was carried to Abraham's bosom. The rich man saw Lazarus, remembered Lazarus. All right. So someone says, oh, I'm having brain fatigue. Listen, your brain is a physical thing. It's inside up there in the skull. So that's where it is. But the mind is not physical. Have you ever thought about that? Because when Lazarus and the rich man were out of their physical bodies, their memory was intact. The rich man could recollect who Lazarus was. In fact, there was now fuller memory. We do not have a record whether the rich man ever met with Abraham. But what we see here is he said, Father Abraham. So he knew who he was talking to. Send Lazarus to dip his finger into water, cool my tongue. And then he said to Abraham also, I have other brothers. Can you please send word to them so that they don't come into this place of torment? So his memory, his recollection was accurate. Right? It wasn't foggy. His mind, his thinking faculty, his recollection wasn't buried right there in the earth, you know, with his body. So outside the body, man functions right. You need to understand it. So man is not body. Body is important, and we've said that, but man is not body. So you find out that we give all of our time, all of our attention, most of our finances to the external. Outward man, like the Bible said, which we read yesterday in 2 Corinthians 4 and 1 Peter chapter 3, the outward man, and you find most of our attention there. And right after that, you know, the soul, that first part of that inner man, the first part, you know, why would I say heart? Now, you know, Bible says guard your heart with all diligence, out of it will flow the forces of life. Now, for you, you need to understand that the guarding of your heart has to involve the guarding of your thoughts. Because what you're actually guarding is your, how do you guard your spirit? Your spirit is in there, recreated, full of the life and the nature of God. What you need to guard, and that's why Romans 12 verse 2 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Meaning, I could be born again, but I conform. That's the revelation, Romans 12 verse 2. Don't be conformed to this world. In fact, from verse 1, Romans 12 from verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. So it means I could be born again, but then I yield my body to my flesh, to whatever it is my flesh would like to do. All right, so I yield my body to whatever it is I want to do. So Romans 12, 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. I yield, all right, holy and acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service, all right? Service here means the way you carry your body, and you need to get this, please. The way you handle your body is part of your worship. The way you handle your body. Worship in the New Testament is beyond singing, all right? Worship, in fact, biblical worship is beyond singing. I know we're used to it, but worship is really your lifestyle. There's something in the Bible called, or in Bible study rather, that is called the law of first mention. The law of first mention. The first time the word worship was used in the Bible was in the book of Genesis, when Abraham was talking to the men that followed him to the mountain when he was going to offer up Isaac. And then Abraham said to them, you guys stay right here. And he said, I and the lad will go up yonder to worship. I and the lad will go up yonder to worship. The law of first mention. So when Abraham was telling them, I and Isaac are going to worship, he wasn't saying they were going to sing. He wasn't saying they were going to dance. You know, he wasn't saying, you know, they were going to sing or jubilate. Genesis chapter 22, verse 5. And Abraham said unto the young man, abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go up yonder and worship, and will be back to you. The first mention of worship in the Bible. First mention. So when you understand the law of first mention, you know, there's something in study of words, etymology, where you look at the original meaning, initial usage, and all of that. So when you come here and you see, oh, worship here wasn't that Abraham was going to sing. Abraham was going to offer up a sacrifice. So worship, your yieldedness, are you getting this? Your life of obedience, your life is a living sacrifice. Let's go back to that Romans chapter 12, verse 1. If we could get the NIV, Romans 12, and the first verse, I would want to show you how it puts it there, you know, in the New International Version. All right. So please watch this now, New International Version. All right. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, watch this now, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So I could be in church and singing, holy are you, Lord. Holy is your name. And you know, and I'm doing that. And while the worship is going on, the Holy Ghost gives me instruction. He says, forgive that person who hurt you. And I just, holy are you, Lord. You know, like, that wasn't God talking to me. Or maybe he says, be kind to your neighbor. You know, you've seen maybe him or her do a few things and you just have that impression. Go help your neighbor tomorrow. And that, holy. Like you're trying to use your voice to drown out God. No, your singing is not the worship. Your life is the worship. So that Romans 12:1, Paul is saying, and I want you to see here, it says you present your body a living sacrifice. You know, when they offer up animals, the animals are dead. So when they kill the animal, put it on, you know, the altar. You know, I know nowadays we like to call church platforms altar, call a whole lot of stuff altar that are not altars. All right. But anyway, a church platform is a stage, is a platform, is a stage. All right. And I'm not trying to sound sacrilegious. Just trying to say there's an altar. Nah. All right. So you kill the animal, put it on that altar, and then you say, the animal is dead. It doesn't feel the heat. It doesn't feel the flames. It doesn't feel anything happening. But this is now a living sacrifice. So it's you being dead and alive, but at the same time, your life is a sacrifice. All right. Living sacrifice. So it's offered up, but you can feel that. Ouchie. God told me to do that. Ouch. God said, that instruction is not comfortable. But that life offers up a sweet smell. That life of obedience, that life of consecration, it offers up a sweet smell. Are you getting it? So Paul is writing to believers. So if there's no use for the body, he won't say, hey, offer it up as a living sacrifice. Let's see the second verse now. All right, verse 2 of the same Romans chapter 12. And then he begins to say, do not conform. He's talking to believers. Do not conform to this world, or NIV, all right? Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we began from saying, guarding your heart. How do I guard my heart? I protect the information that comes to my mind. I gauge. I check. I'm checking what exactly is coming. I don't want this thought. I don't want that thought. I don't want this thought. And we're talking about building spiritual, you know, solid spiritual muscles. If you do not renew your mind with the word of God, you will conform to this world. You would wonder why you fear like the world is fearing. You would wonder why you think the way the world is thinking. Check what you're allowing to get to your heart. Are you getting that now? So when you look at that, you say, oh, it's true. I'm trying to use scriptures, all right? I know the Bible uses the word spirit and heart interchangeably, but I'm trying to show you where the usage of heart might also be mind. So, for instance, also Proverbs tells us, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So you say, is it the spirit that is in the thinking or the soul that is in the thinking? Because when we do the fuller study, we say that your soul involves your mind, your will, and your emotions. Did you get that? Your soul involves your mind, or, your mind. Some add memory, imagination, but your soul has your mind, your will, your emotion. We could add memory, imagination. Some teachers put that. Some don't put that in. So as a man thinks in his heart. So it's not the spirit that is doing the thinking. It's the mind that is coming up with the thoughts. And let's see Philippians. Philippians 4, verse 8. Philippians 4 and the 8th verse. We could do maybe the New King James. Philippians 4, verse 8. Because Paul is saying there how the mind should be guarded. Philippians 4, 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is any praise, notice this, meditate on these things. So question, is it your spirit doing the thinking or the mind doing the thinking? But because it's a meditation, because it involves the word of God, it's a spirit and soul activity put together. All right. So I would say really, then your heart is that combination of your spirit and soul. Hold on. I want you to note this. Your flesh will be a combination of your body and your soul. Did you get that? Your heart is a combination of your spirit and soul. Your flesh will be a combination of your soul and your body. Those thoughts, James was saying that every man is tempted when he's drawn of his own lust and is enticed. This physical body has nothing to lust for in that sense. Maybe you lie down on a very comfortable mattress, and go, oh, this is so comfortable. How did your body know it's comfortable? A part of you identified that comfort. A part of you did, all right? A part of you identified the comfort. You stepped out, it was a bit chilly. Your body felt it. But don't forget, it sends the signals, and then it's interpreted. Ooh, that's cold. And then, that's warm. You got that? So your soul is involved. So when the cravings come up, I've never been there. When you're fasting and then you're praying and fasting and praying, maybe you're supposed to, end that fast for the day by 4 p.m. or 6 p.m. or 9 p.m. or maybe 3 p.m. And then you're fasting and then you're fasting. Oh God. And then the more you think about God's word and then the things you desire from God and the things your heart, desires and everything like that. You just, ooh, I want it, I want it. Suddenly in that place of spiritual experience and encounter, you start thinking, oh, when I'm done fasting right now, what am I going to eat? Have you been there? And then you just, you didn't even know when you traveled into, you know, a food kingdom. You just found that you were already in the food kingdom, already thinking, oh, wow, yeah, I'd love to eat. Yeah, I remember the last time I ate it. Yeah, I remember when, oh, yeah, said he cooked it. And I remember, and then you catch yourself that you've traveled. And what begins to happen to you? Like, is this 6? I'm really ending this fast? Or like right away, the more you think about it, the cravings increase. And, you know, like someone uses a remote control on you, you end up in front of a deep freezer or the refrigerator and then you're making yourself some stuff. You understand that? So where your mind tilts, and we dealt with this yesterday, because we always go, oh, but I prayed 5 hours and then I fasted 10 hours. Why am I still tempted? Guard your heart. The renewal of mind, all right, or the lack of the renewal of your mind is where you tilt. If you do not renew your mind, you conform. If you renew your mind, you're transformed, all right? So that Romans 12:2 again says, do not conform. Don't blend into the world's pattern, all right? Don't conform to the pattern of this world. Don't, you know, but how? It's by the information. It's by the information. You know, have you ever come up with or realized at a point certain things, you know, you wouldn't do them, you wouldn't think about them. But the more you rode with people who felt there was nothing wrong with them, after a while you started thinking, well, there's really nothing really wrong with it, you know, really nothing, not so bad. Yeah, and that begins to happen to you, all right? That begins to happen to you, and then after a while, it's not so bad. So something dropped, all right? Now, yeah, we do unlearn things, so there are things that you need to unlearn, relearn, and all of that. But not when it comes to, I believe in, you know, divine healing, I believe in divine health, and then you now slip into, even if you fall ill from time to time, it's just okay. I mean, God could have a purpose for it. Something happened to you that just might not be healthy, and it could be dangerous for you or someone around you. All right, you need to remind yourself that himself took our infirmities, he carried away our sicknesses. You have to remind yourself, by his wounds, all right, by his wounds you have been healed, totally, completely, and radically healed. Praise God. So I believe that that's helping. And yes, the we will be sending an email, all right, tomorrow, I believe, that would have the download links to this. And possibly, yes, it will be uploaded also on YouTube. You might just have to find me on YouTube, Larry Rexonos. Yeah, you know, it's easy. Just Larry Rexonos. Yeah, you would easily find me on YouTube, you know, easy peasy. But you will get an email that has that, has a download link. So you just, yeah, we want you to have both the video and the audio. So yeah, it's word up. I mean, let's just give the word out. Okay. So spirit, soul, body. My body is a gift. My body is a gift. I want us to quickly read. Let me do body. Quickly read from 2 Corinthians 4:16 into chapter 5. All right. 2 Corinthians 4:16 into chapter 5. Maybe NLT. 2 Corinthians 4:16 into chapter 5, and then we put it up from there. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I want you to see this now. This is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed day by day. So no matter how your body ages, your spirits will not age. I think this is a beautiful revelation. Even though our bodies are dying, and Paul, as at this point, has had shipwrecked, has been beaten, a lot of things have happened to him. Said even if our bodies are dying, our spirits are renewed, all right, day by day. Next verse, we just keep going to get to chapter 2. I know we use this to teach faith, but it's saying something in context here. It says, for our present troubles are small and they won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them, all right, and lasts forever. So there's an internal glory that is coming up. Verse 18, yeah. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze, hallelujah, on things that we cannot see. For the things we see now will soon be gone. This is an encouragement for someone. The challenges, the troubles, everything will be gone. None of these things are permanent. None of these things. No, they pass. They come to pass. They come to pass. They come and they pass away. but the things we cannot see will last. All right, forever. Oh, hope that's clear. So we'll go to chapter 5 now, the first verse of chapter 5, and then pick a few verses. Chapter 5, verse 1, 2 Corinthians 5 and 1. Thank you, Lord. All right. See this, please. For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is, when we die and leave this earthly body, see what he called the body, an earthly tent, right? Regular King James says the tabernacle, the tent. It's a building. You're living in a house, all right? And oh, thank you, dear Lord. This is a beautiful revelation. For when we know, all right, for we know, rather, that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is, when we live and die, when we die, rather, and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. So when you drop one body, you pick up another body. That's what you're catching from here. Next verse, please. All right, so go to 2, 3, 4. So we grow weary in our present bodies. We long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. Okay, verse 3. For we will put on heavenly bodies. We will not be spirits without bodies. Please note from chapter 4, he's been talking about spirit, body. Even though our bodies wear out, our spirits are renewed. So now he's saying we will not be spirits without bodies. So God created man to have body. Man has spirit, soul, body, man. All right. Jesus is in heaven as man's representative. He's the word that became flesh. And the moment he was word become flesh, he remained as flesh. Remember, he died with a human body. He resurrected as a with a human body. He ascended with that body. Now a glorified body, but it's the same body. So Jesus is in heaven with body. He's man's representative. He's our firstborn. So in that same way, we'll be united with him. We would meet with him in our bodies, glorified bodies. So by the time you add the revelation in 1 Thessalonians that says, you know, in the twinkle of an eye, we'll all be changed. So it's not that, oh, we're going to drop this body. Someone says, but I don't want my body. I want to change my body. When you see your glorified body, you'll fall in love with yourself. All right. It's a glorified body. It's a heavenly body. So still in that chapter, verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 5, still in that third verse. All right. So we will put on heavenly bodies. We will not be spirits without bodies. So I'm a spirit, but my body is my house. Could you say that with me? I am a spirit. My body is my house. Say that. I am a spirit. My body is my house. I am a spirit. Could you say that, please? I am a spirit. My body is my house. One day I might leave my body if Jesus doesn't come yet and go as a spirit to meet with him. Then my body joins with me later. But as at now, I am a spirit living in this body. All right. And the revelation is this. That means when your body feels sick, you still don't have to say, I am sick, because you know that in you, the real you, the spirit you, is the life of God. In you, there is no fear. In you, I feel afraid. Fine. But you are not, I'm just full of fear. Which part of you is full of fear? All right. So maybe you live in a house that is infested with cockroaches and you're like, oh, I have roaches. I have roaches in my life. No, the roaches are not in your life. They are in your house. Did I hit home for anybody? It's easy for us to understand that, oh, I have cockroaches. You know, I have rats in the house, but I don't have rats. I don't have rats. They might be in the house, in the kitchen cupboard or something, but they're not in me. But we don't separate when it comes to spiritual things. Yeah, this body feels tired, but like we saw in chapter 4, though the outward man is perishing, the inward man is not sick. The inward man can never be sick. You can't find, oh, hallelujah. You cannot find sickness in your spirit. You cannot find fear in your spirit. Oh, I'm just so confused. I'm so confused. My life is just confused. I don't understand. No, you, the real you, calm yourself down. Remind yourself of who you are. I am a child of light. Hallelujah. There's no confusion in me. Because the spirit is never confused. Nope. Can be. Doesn't have fear. Is a child of light. The issue is always with the mind and then the body. Don't forget the inner circle, the outer circle and the outermost circle. So when there's pain and funny stuff happening in your body, the life in your spirit can be released through the renewal of your mind to minister to your body. Did you get that? I'll say it again so you see the arrangement. When there's pain in your body, sickness, symptoms, things are going all wrong. Yes, the doctors will inject you and give you pills and all, do what you need to do. Take care of your body. It's fine. But remind yourself that the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead lives in me. Hallelujah. And watch it. Romans 8:11. I want you to see what Romans 8:11 says, because it's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. We're looking at the body part, because the body was given to you as a gift. You're right. The body was given to you as a gift. So Romans 8:11 says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just us. All right. God raised Christ Jesus from the dead. He will, see what he will do. Give life to your mortal bodies by his spirit, by this same spirit living in you. The spirit, he's already saying the spirit lives in you. Where's the spirit living? The spirit is in union with your spirit. But you could be so much in union with the spirit of God, but your mind is not renewed to that revelation. And then it doesn't minister to your body. So you find sickness all over, ravaging Christians. Christians are sick like everybody. Christians are running from contagions like everybody. Christians are afraid of germs and viruses like everybody. And the very spirit of resurrection lives in you. The same spirit, not another spirit. The same, oh hallelujah, the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead lives in you. So what do I do? How do I unleash? Like we looked at yesterday in Philemon and verse 6, the communication of your faith becomes effective by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you. So you have to acknowledge the spirit of life is in me. The spirit of life is in me. The same spirit I raised up just from the dead is in me. And it gives life to this body of mine. Life is in this body of mine. Oh, the doctor says it's cancer. The doctor says it's tumor. The doctor says it's diabetes. You're short on insulin. You're short on there's life in me. There's life in me. Take what they want to give you. Grow. I mean, take care of your body. But keep feeding. Keep. Prime the pump. The life of God is in me. The life of God is in me. The spirit of God that is in me is giving life to this body in the name of Jesus. What are you doing? You are renewing your mind and you are refusing to conform to sickness and disease. Listen, the moment you got born again, you became elevated. Hallelujah. You became elevated. Ephesians 2 says you've been enthroned. All right? You've been raised up together. I'm made to sit together. I love the light in that verse. It says you've been raised up, Ephesians 2 and verse 6. You've been raised up together. See, I love it. And has raised us up together and made us sit together. He didn't say he asked us to sit. He made us sit. Someone say, what's the revelation there? What I see there is I woke up and I found myself sitting down. Don't you understand? I mean, it was Jesus, the Father said to, Bible says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit. Oh, we need to do a teaching on enthronement. All right. On our position in Christ Jesus. You know, you love to sing, oh, come and take your place, oh God. Come and take your place, oh God. You know, and that God is not confused. God knows his own place. I'm sure the Father is singing, come and take your place, oh child. Come and take your place, oh child. Now, by renewing your mind, I understand that, you know, there's a way we could dethrone, quote and unquote, now God, by, you know, allowing cares and allowing worry, allowing money and all of that to take his place. And it becomes idolatry. I understand that. But most times people say, oh God, come and take your place in my situation. God has his place. You need to take your own place in your place of authority. Sit. You've been made to sit. So I'm seated far above and glory to God. All right. So I'm excited. Okay. So it's just important to understand that the body is given to you as a gift. So when something is wrong with your body, it's not wrong with you, the spirit. And like Proverbs says, when you guard your heart, Proverbs 4:23, when you guard your heart with all diligence, out of it will flow the forces of life. Out of it will flow the virtues of life. Out of that heart of yours, something will flow from your heart to minister to your body. Let's see the 22nd verse. All right, 22nd verse. Let's just do verse 20. All right, Proverbs 4, verse 20. Let me show you what this thing is. That's why we word up, all right? Proverbs 4:20, my son, attend to my words. My son, incline your ear to what I'm saying. Attend to my words, incline your ear to what I'm saying. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. All right? That heart alone cannot be spirit. Where do I keep the word? I keep the word also in my mind. I keep it in my thoughts. So my heart is both. All right? For they, watch this, the word is life to those that find them and health to some of their flesh. Am I hearing someone say, no, no, that's not what he said. All right. Let's see the verse again. For they are life to those that find them and health to a majority of their flesh. No, for they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. All right. Health to all their flesh. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Health to every part of them. Glory to God. So you and I, all right. You and I have got to wake up to that basic reality, you know, that simple reality of God's word. And we're telling ourselves, this is what the word says to me. This is what the word says. So the more I feed on the word, I feed on the word, I feed on the word. Hebrews chapter 10, and then the fifth verse of Hebrews 10, Hebrews 10, 5. Yeah, we could just pick it from verse 1 and just, I'll read quickly. Hebrews chapter 10. Thank you there, Lord. Hebrews chapter 10. All right. It says, the law, having the shadow of good things to come and not the very image of things, can never, with the sacrifices which were offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Verse 2. For then they would not have been, have ceased to be offered, because the worshippers, once purged, have had no more consciousness of sin. Deep stuff, we can't stay here. Serious stuff, we need to learn. All right. But in these sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. In the more, let me quickly say this one, the more they made sacrifices, the more they made sacrifices every year, it was a, watch this, but in these sacrifices, there is a remembrance of sin every year. Each time the high priest shows up to offer sacrifice, everybody remembers sin. Everybody remembers sin, all right? You know, many of us grew up with, before you can ask God for something, you have to confess your sin. But what you don't know you're doing to yourself is you're building what is called a sin consciousness, not a son consciousness. All right? You know, we say, oh, I'm a sinner saved by grace. No, you're either a sinner or you're saved by grace. Once you're saved by grace, you're no longer a sinner. Oh, but I sinned, or I sinned. You're saved by grace. So it's in the revelation of that grace that helps you to overcome and overpower that sin. You have to understand this. The thing happening year by year is only bringing a consciousness of sin. And I'm sure that's happened to you. You want to maybe pray for someone. You want to travel on a journey. And then you suddenly felt so unworthy in yourself. It's a sin consciousness. You're seated with him in heavenly places. Doesn't want you sitting there and saying, Dad, you're not really don't worth, I'm not worthy being here, right? And just have to say, you know, I washed you in my blood. You say, yeah, yeah, it's true, it's true. Then maybe some minutes later, no time in heaven anyway, but minutes later you go, you just go, what's up? You say, I really just feel I'm not worthy to be here. And he goes, I washed you in my blood. I say, yeah, yeah, yeah. Then maybe like sometime later again, you go, and get what? I say, I should be like down there rolling on the floor and I washed you in my blood. And we don't have a revelation of the sonship and the sacrifice and what he's done for us. So we always have that same conscience. I'm not worthy. You know, I'm not worthy. And then, so you want to talk to God and then you have to ask him to forgive you of your sin before you ask, you know, for anything. And let's run through the Lord's Prayer. It's a format of prayer, but let's run through it. All right. So our Father, are you ready? All right. So our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. All right. What's after that, right? Give us this day our daily bread. And then he went to forgive us our trespasses. So some of us who do, Father, forgive us our trespasses, then we can now say, now I'm worthy to say our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So we even put the forgiveness of sin before the praise and worship of the Father. Some do well and then they do praise and worship for the Father. They say, but before we can ask for anything, we have to confess our sin so that God can hear us. And then we have to say, Father, forgive us our trespasses. When we're done, we'll now say, give us this day our daily bread. But even Jesus, in arranging the format, as it were, of prayer, said, give us this day our daily bread. Then he went to forgive us our trespasses. All right? Because the more you think about the thing, listen, if you do something wrong right there, don't wait till it's prayer time. Don't wait till it's church time. Father, that was messed up. I'm sorry about that. Right there. All right. Confess it. Like God is waiting for you to confess it before he forgives you. No, he's forgiving you, but you in confessing it, all right, you bring the thing out in open, you reduce and neutralize the power that it has even to condemn you. You do yourself a greater good. That's it. Well, I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't do anything wrong. That's not wrong. John said you can't walk in darkness and say you're in the light. That was wrong. All right. And in admitting it, you allow the blood to do what it does. The blood is not just what I'm entering a different topic. All right. So maybe we need to, not maybe, it's word up. It will be topical. All right. So let's deal with this. And then we'll come to maybe righteousness and then sonship and all of that. Let's just go straight to the fourth verse of Hebrews chapter 10. Fourth verse. All right. Thank you there, Lord. Fourth verse. So much to say. Like I said, when we began, I have so much notes here that could go for weeks, a whole lot, so that you understand it. What I've learned in like 20 something years, and I could just say in a phrase, say, in a simple statement, it took a whole lot to put it together. So I am aware of that. So I also need to try to break things down. So it says here, for it's not possible that, you know, the blood of goats and bulls will take away sin. And then verse 5, where we're going. I want you to see this. Wherefore, when he, referring to Jesus, came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you would not, but a body you prepared for me. Did you get that? You don't want sacrifices. You don't want all of that, but you prepared a body for me. Let's quickly go down. All right, 6 and 7, but 5 is where we're going. All right. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, you have no pleasure. Verse 7 now. I want you to see verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the books, it is written of me to do your will, O God. So we connect 5 to 7 or 7 to 5. All right. Sacrifices and offerings, you have no pleasure, but a body you have prepared for me. Then we jump straight to 7. Lo, I come in the volume of the books. It is written of me to do your will. So the body was given to you to do God's will. You understand? This body is given to you to do the will of God. So you have to take care of the body. All right. You have to allow the body to live as long as you should live, because this body was given for you to do God's will. Some say, but it's my body. I do what I want to do. I can just mark it X and Y and Z, you know, because we have revelation over new creation and all of that. We come up with all sorts. It's, you know, hey, liberty is not the same as licentiousness. All right. Liberty is not the same as, you know, licentiousness. All right. Good. All right. I'll note that. I saw a question, so I need to check it out. If I enter that now. Okay, let me hold on. But I saw the question, all right? I saw the question, if we're forgiven, if before we confess. I saw it, so I'm just saying it so you know. I saw the question. And the answer is clear. But that answer, I would need to, like I said, a number of things I know now is not just one verse that was said. It's a combination of a whole lot, and it will help that you don't walk away from here and say, oh, he said. You walk away from here with, I saw it in the Bible. I saw it in the Bible. All right. So we're talking about the body. So the body is given. So you don't say, it's my body. It's my body. No, it's my body. First Corinthians and then chapter 6 and 19. First Corinthians 6, 19. And I want you to see something. All right. While it is your spirit that is recreated right now of the three parts, when Jesus died, don't forget, his body was broken, meaning body was part of the process. And you saw that in Hebrews, a body you gave me to do your will. So Jesus did not come here in body alone just to offer up his spirit. No, Jesus' spirit, soul, and body was involved in redemption. I repeat, Jesus' spirit, soul, and body, they were all involved in redemption. He became sin. Do you understand that? He was bruised, all right? His emotions, I mean, he was praying in the garden and he said, Father, let this cup pass. He told the disciples, my soul is sorrowful unto death. His soul was involved. He prayed till he had great drops of blood, sweat like drops of blood. That was intense. So he's all spirit. He's all body. All right. He's every part of him was involved. He became bruised. He crown of thorns, nails, and he came out. All right. To show himself, he didn't just say, "Hey, I'm resurrected. Hula, hooray." He said, "See my hand, guys. See my side, Thomas. See." His body was involved. So Jesus' spirit, soul, and body were used to pay the price for your own spirit, soul, and body. I repeat that, please. Jesus' spirit, soul, and body paid the price for your own spirit, soul, and body. His body was bruised, so your body will never be bruised. He was separated from God, so you're never separated from God. His spirit became, you know, entered into the realm of death so that you can have life forevermore. All right? He went through all that for you. So you don't come up and say, "Well, it's just my spirit, my body. Mm-hmm. I give my spirit to God. My body belongs to me." Don't forget Romans 12:1 that we saw. You present that body as a living sacrifice. That body is God's gift to you, but then you gift it back to God. All right? Your body is God's gift to you. But then you gift your body back to God. You gift it back and say, "It's for your will. I realize this is not mine. You gave me the body. It's for your will." All right. So 1 Corinthians 6:19. 1 Corinthians 6:19. All right. Very, 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 interesting verse in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 6:19. It says, "What? Know ye not that your body," watch that, not spirit now, "your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God." He now ends by saying, "And you are not your own." So your body, this body, I know we say, "Oh, where does the Holy Ghost live? Does he live in my spirit? Does he live in my body?" He lives in your spirit, and your body is the house for your spirit. He lives in your spirit. Your body is a house. So your body is a house of the Holy Ghost also. Now let's see the 20th verse. All right. Verse 20 of this same chapter, it says, watch this now. I want you to see this. "For you are not your own." All right. I just skipped. Sorry, in my head. That was the last verse. "For you are bought with a price." Did you get that? "Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You are bought with a price, not just your spirit. You are bought with a price. Jesus' spirit, soul, body was used to pay the price for your own spirit, soul, and body. All right. Right now, your spirit has received its own recreation. Your mind is still being renewed. And on the final day of redemption, your body gets its final, what Jesus paid for. It gets a glorified body like Jesus has. But in the meantime, all right, you are to glorify God with your body, you know, and then your spirit, which are God's. All right. Okay, I could still quickly try and answer that one. I saw a question. The middle one, it would take us. All right. You talked about the fact that our spirits cannot be sick. In what context did the Bible refer to a broken spirit? All right. When the Bible talks about a broken spirit, it's not talking about the spirit in a man. It's dealing with remorse. It's dealing with, you know, a broken spirit and a contrite heart. And that's why I tried explaining these words are interchangeable, spirit and heart. But when you understand which part of the heart is referring to, these guys, first of all, they were not born again. All right. Thank you. These guys were not born again. So in you being a new creation, and we're going to see spirit very soon. So you have a completeness of spirit. So hold on and let me get there with you very soon. But context, when he says, "Oh, they had a broken spirit, a contrite heart and all of that." They were not born again. First of all, secondly, it's talking about the depth of remorse, that depth of brokenness that they have. His spirit is broken. His spirit is broken, not spirit in itself. All right. So when Bible says spirit of man sustains infirmity, broken, you know, it's not the spirit in itself, because you are a new creation and the life and the nature of God resides in you. But then if your mind is crushed, let me say this also. Let's talk about a bit about demon possession, obsession, and all of that. A believer, I don't know if you've seen one. I have seen where someone who is born again, all right, was going insane, all right, was acting demonized. Someone born again, acting demonized. You wonder, So what was all of that about? Is the person possessed? No, the spirit cannot completely take over that believer, but the spirit has influenced the mind of the believer. All right? Did you get that? Because in the spirit of the believer is the very life and the nature of God. John chapter 1 verse 4, and the light shines in darkness, the darkness comprehends it not. The spirit of the believer is full of light. The mind might be filled with, you open up your thoughts to horrible things you're not supposed to open up yourself to. And then it builds a stronghold and the demons can have, you know, find their way into it and all that, but it never touched the spirit. And that's why I use the illustration of a house. Your body is your house. All right. Your eyes are like the windows through which you're looking through, your hands. But when you're outside of your body, you're still a perfect person. That's why, you know, the story of Lazarus and the rich man. The rich man said, please tell Lazarus to dip his finger. So that means Lazarus had finger. That, and his body was on earth, but then he had finger. He said, let him cool my tongue. How could someone be in hell and say, cool my tongue? It therefore gives us a picture of what the inner man looks like. He's not an amoeba. He's not shapeless. The inner man is complete. He has a form. God has eyes. God has feelings. Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. It means the Holy Ghost has a soul. All right, so we picked it from him. God has feelings. Bible says God rejoices over us. God sings over us. God has emotions. All right, they tempted the Holy One of Israel. They vexed him in the wilderness. God was angry. The wrath of God. Those are emotions. God has emotions. So man was created, don't forget, in the image and the likeness of God. So God has celestial, well, let's use Jesus and angels and all of that, but God is a being. God is not just floating. God is not just the mind of the universe. You know, the universe, you know, God is God. All right. And he said, let us make man in our own image. So when we look at what we look like on the outside, it gives us a picture of what we look like on the inside. And then it gives us a picture of who the Father is. Yes, he is light, burning. Ezekiel describes him as light from the waist up and fire from the waist down. All right. He's like fire and lightning and brightness and all of that. Like, woo, what's going on here? But God is God. No. All right. So I'm sure you can see like that can lead here and that can lead here and that can lead here. Like, so your body is given and then your body someday will be changed. Your body, First Thessalonians tells us that one day, you know, those that are alive, you know, will be changed and then those who are dead, their bodies will meet up with them again. So this body was given to you as a gift by God and this body is your gift back to God to function effectively on the earth. Let's touch the soul a little bit. James chapter 1 and verse 21. James 1:21. We've touched a bit of the soul about the renewal of mind. All right. So the body receives its own salvation. Romans 8:23. Let's just touch it and then quickly come here. I just want to show you something. All right. So there are three parts. Spirit, soul, body. So the spirit of man is the part of all the three have been paid for. Okay. All three paid for, but the spirit has already received his own part of the payment. The soul's own is continuous and then the body's own is later. Watch Romans 8:23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the spirit, even we ourselves, watch this, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption that is the redemption of our bodies. So we're waiting for the redemption of our bodies. We're waiting one day. My body will change. One day, guys, we're going to have the same Jesus kind of body, walk through wall, and now we're going to be changed. Hallelujah. Paul was writing and he said, in the twinkling of an eye, poo, we will be changed. Imagine me talking to you guys right now and the time comes and I'm just talking at, just change the glorified body. I could just walk through this wall and then float in the air and all of that. Now these things can happen supernaturally from time to time, but after that time it won't be supernatural anymore. You won't need faith for it anymore. It just boom happens. All right. And everybody that's been dead will be resurrected. Listen, this body of yours is the same body. Jesus didn't die and then resurrect and he had a new body, like a different body. Mm-mm. Did you get that? He didn't get a new body. It's the same body, but became a glorified one. So you're going to have one. So people who died in accidents and bomb blasts and, you know, died bottom of the ocean, matter can never be destroyed. Never, ever be destroyed. So when it comes to the resurrection, what's going to happen? Their bodies will form back. You remember Ezekiel's prophecy? Then the bone will join to everything forms back again. As in everything will. Yeah. But it would happen supernaturally. We already have a type of that in the Bible. When Jesus resurrected from the dead, Bible said graves also opened and the bodies of dead saints came up with it. But if they were dead saints, their bodies would have decomposed. But it formed. Matthew 27. You know, when Jesus resurrected from the dead, the bodies, you know, okay, I know Gabriel is looking for it right now. So Matthew 27, 28 or something. Matthew 27, I know it's something, maybe 50 something, 40 something, you know, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful. You just know that, hey, this body, thank you. All right. Matthew 27, 53. And came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into, no, okay, 52. Should we do 52? Matthew 27, 52. All right. Thank you. And the graves were opened. Watch this now. And many bodies of the saints which slept got up. Bodies. If these guys were dead before now, saints. All right. We don't have their list, but this likely could be them Abraham and them, you know, David and everybody. The saints that had died, their bodies. Woo, hallelujah. Because Jesus went into the grave, you know, grave beyond. And when he rose up, he didn't come out alone. Look, remember yesterday, I told you back then on campus, we used to show people what happened from the cross to the throne. And you find people screaming. Woo, glory to God. I mean, it's exciting. So he went to the grave beyond. But when he rose up, he didn't come out alone. He didn't come out alone. He came out. He emptied Abraham's bosom. Because back then in the story of Lazarus and the rich man could see Abraham, see Lazarus and say, hey, send them. And Abraham had to explain there's a gulf in between. There's no more gulf. Everybody in Abraham's bosom, Jesus went there and said, you couldn't go up because I had not gone up to open the way. Topic for another day. Let me just touch it. All right. I had to go up and open the way. Now, hey, let's go and you guys follow me. And they followed him. All right. But Jesus was going to get back into his own body. All right. Because his body, he had left his body, went down. He was going to get into his body and go up and he wasn't going to go alone. This guy's going to go with him. And the graves were opened. Watch this. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Next verse, please. These guys got up and came out of their graves after the resurrection. So when Jesus resurrected, it was just Jesus we saw. But the Bible says there were other people who resurrected and went into the holy city and appeared to many. Imagine Abraham walks through your wall and says, I'm Papa Abraham. Woo, glory. Or David just dances through your door and like, oh my goodness, that's King David. Imagine them just walking into the holy city and appearing. Woo, woo. Woo, 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 appearing unto many. How come we don't have a record of these guys? Because now this is the record. This is the record. All right. And then Jesus had to obviously go up with them. Maybe he left them around all the while they were busy appearing to people. He had to go as high priest into heaven, offer up the blood sacrifice, you know, at the mercy seat and all of that. And then he comes back, speaks to disciples, spends about 40 days with them. Then when he was resurrecting, ascending rather, Bible said when he went up, a cloud received him out of their sight. Okay, it could sound like a physical cloud, but then just to connect verses without doing injustice to it, Hebrews chapter 12 now tells us from verse 1, seeing then that we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. All right. And who are these guys in the cloud of witnesses? The people in Hebrews 11, Abraham and I, everybody, he had mentioned them in Hebrews 11. And then verse 12, he calls them the cloud of witnesses. And Jesus ascended and a cloud received him. A cloud received him out of their sight. So obviously he had to go up finally with these people. Maybe. It's not injustice to scripture. So they are dancing in. I mean, okay, just enjoy this one while I'm at it. And David screams, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. A king of glory is coming in. I mean, it's just fun to think. All right. The verse is used immediately at the resurrection. Possibly when he went first or when he went alone, because he went twice. He went the first time, the media point of resurrection, when Mary wanted to hold him and he said, do not handle me because I am yet ascending to my Father and your Father. All right. Well, I'm yet ascending to my Father. Then go tell Peter and the brethren, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. And then that was the first time he left off. And then he shows up now, appears to them, spends time with them. And then he goes up, pooh, finally. Said, oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. I mean, what happened from the cross to the throne is amazing. Great stuff. Great stuff. We might have points to say, okay, maybe not this way. Maybe it happened that way, but it's still exciting, Jesus. And you ended up not knowing about it, but you were carried all through. You died with him. I mean, you were crucified with him. You died with him. You were buried with him. You rose again with him. And then you're seated together with him. Hallelujah. What a beauty. What a beauty. What a beauty. So how do we get there? So in talking about spirit, soul, and body, you have to understand that your body, this body has been paid for, but then it's waiting for that redemption. All right? It's been paid for, but you're going to get the bodies. It's been promised you already. God has a glorified body for you. And you saw that in 2 Corinthians and chapter 5. James 1:21. Thank you, Lord. So it says, wherefore lay apart or aside all filthiness and the superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. All right. Usually when we go to get people born again, say, I'm going to win souls. Well, not really. Soul is the spirit. Well, we don't say I'm going to win a spirit. So I'm going to win soul, because the Bible says, all right, in Proverbs, he that winneth soul is wise, to use that. And all right. But the soul here is soul. So it says, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. That means the soul is not saved yet. If you sang a kind of music to church and got born again, and then you come back from church and they play that kind of music somewhere, someone blasted it from his or her car, you don't say, oh, what song is that? You don't do that. You know the song. In fact, you might catch yourself nodding and moving. I'm like, oh, I just got born again. I'm not supposed to do that anymore. Kind of stuff. Because your mind is not removed. Your mind is to be renewed. You got that? Your mind is not removed. Your mind is to be renewed. All right. And you might need to write this down also. The renewal of the mind is a lifelong process. The renewal of the mind is a lifelong process, because 1 minute you leave your mind carelessly, it starts gathering thoughts and gathering. And like Paul told us in Philippians 4:8, check what you think about. Is it lovely? Is it of good report? Is your virtue? Is your praise? You need to. So it says, receive with meekness the engrafted word that is able to save you. So please stay in Philippians. Stay there. I need to, I'll use it right now. So it says, receive with meekness the engrafted word that is able to save your soul. So our spirits are saved. Our spirit has received eternal life, but our soul is still being saved. And the process of saving is a renewal of the mind. The more you receive the word, your mind is renewed. But when that day shows up, your body receives it. All three have been paid for, but one is enjoying that payment right now. One enjoys it as a process of, you know, the second full sanctification, as it were, goes on. And then your body waits for his own glorification. See here. Finally, brethren, what things soever are true, what things soever are noble, what things soever are just, what things soever are pure, what things soever are lovely, what things soever are good report, if there be any virtue and praise, think on these things. Meditate on these things. So he's saying think. You know, some say, my mind is just thinking. I can't control it. You own your thoughts. You have to remind yourself, I own my thoughts. My thoughts are mine. In the name of Jesus. If you have to use the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, mind, I own you. Maybe you have a, you know, but I, let me enter that too much. Tom needs that. You own your thoughts. Listen, every thought that comes to you is not always yours. I'm sure you might have stood somewhere high up before and you had that thought of jump down. You say, I'm suicidal. I'm beginning to think suicidal thoughts. No, you're not. No, you weren't thinking that thought. Someone was putting the thought in your mind. That's why Bible tells us, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination. So you pull the thoughts down, the negative thoughts, the contrary thoughts. You say, no, that thought is not mine. The enemy suggests thoughts to you. Your carnal self will bring up thoughts. God also speaks and it comes to you as a thought, an idea. Be nice to that person. Forgive that person. It comes as a thought. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to pull down strongholds, to pull down strongholds. All right. It now says in the next verse, verse 5. Okay. And I want you to see verse 5 and note it, casting down imaginations. So you thought, oh, I felt like jumping down. Or you were bathing a baby and you just felt like pushing the baby underwater for a while. I'm sure someone was like, I felt like that before and I thought I was a demon. No, you're not. It was an imagination. What do you do? Cast it down. As simple as these things are, this is how you build spiritual strength. You cast down evil thoughts. You cast down, you in the name of Jesus, I refuse to think this thought. In the name of Jesus, I refuse to think this thought. In the name of Jesus, I declare that, just take authority. Take authority. You can, you should. Take authority. You can and you should. And, you just have to, remind yourself of the power of God that is at work in you. And then the power of God that is like so much available to you. And just keep reminding yourself, hey, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have the life of God. I have the nature of God. I have the spirit of God. Casting down imaginations, all right, and bringing, watch this, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, you bring into captivity every thought. If you should bring into captivity every thought, this only goes to confirm that every thought that comes to you is not your original thought. Every thought that comes to your mind is not your thought. It's not your first thought. It's not, hey, I'm thinking this. No, bring it into captivity. Pull it down. Pull it down in Jesus' name. I feel I could give someone a moment, and just tell that thought. I bring you into captivity in the name of Jesus. Maybe you're thinking, I might die soon. I might die young. I might die quick. This sickness might kill me. Something might go wrong with me. Bring that thought into captivity in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Bring it into captivity. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name, and I want you to look at the verse, casting down imaginations. You cast it down. Casting down imaginations. Casting down. In imaginations, I cast you down. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Something contesting with the knowledge of God in your life. No. And it says, and bring it into captivity. Every thought. In the name of Jesus, this thought, I bring it into captivity. If every negative thought you have, it makes you qualify as being suicidal, then Jesus would have been suicidal. He thought about jumping from the pinnacle of the mountain. He thought about it. He thought about jumping down. And Jesus was not suicidal. Jesus recognized that it was a work of the devil. Don't let people cheat you and say, hey, it's my truth. My truth is I have funny thoughts and it's just my truth. There's only one truth, child of God, and that's the word of God. Only one truth. There's only one thing called truth. John 17:17, Bible says, sanctify them with your truth. Your word is truth. We'll destabilize and bring a lot of confusion to people when there's your truth and my truth and his truth and her truth. No, there's only one truth. And it's the word of God. And you are not suicidal. You are the child of God. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You were created in the very image and the likeness of God. You have a purpose and you will fulfill that purpose. You will live healthy. You will live long. You will live strong. The number of your days you will fulfill. Hallelujah. Bring those thoughts into captivity. Oh, because of one thing didn't go right, a relationship that didn't go well, a business that, flopped, or an academic condition that is getting worse or something. Then you think, oh, my life is not just up to it anymore. Something's wrong. Nothing. No, come on, in the name of Jesus. Yes, you might need to go sit yourself down, talk to yourself, get more organized and all of that. But from within, there's light. From within, there's light. So take authority over that thought of failure, over that thought of defeat, over that thought of quit and give up. No, we never quit. We're never defeated. We're never defeated. The righteous man will fall 7 times. He'll get back up again. So child of God, get back up again. Glory to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So that's the place of the mind, because you find that no matter how you could spend 10 hours praying in the spirit, 10 hours praying in tongues, the whole weekend praying and fasting. And then we're still tempted. We spend 10 hours praying in the spirit and all of that. And then we still feel depressed. I'm still like, oh God, when? Oh God, when? It's because no matter how much spiritual activity you stir up and create, if you do not renew your mind, if you do not renew your mind, the mind is a connector. The mind is the interface. Note this down, please. All right. With my body, all right, I make contact with the physical world. With my body, I connect with the physical world. With my mind, I connect with the mental, emotional, and then the soulish realm. With my mind, I do that. Well, with my spirit, I'm in contact with God. And of course, yeah, the spirit realm, but with my body, I connect with the physical world. With my mind, I connect with the mental, soulish, you know, emotional world. With my spirit, I connect with God. So whatever is a source is also the sustainer. Did you get that? God is a source of your body. I mean, well, he is, all right, but this context, I mean, the body was formed from the dust of the ground. So that's why the body is sustained from food, from the things from the ground, because the source is sustainer. But the spirit came from God. The spirit came from God. So the spirit is sustained by God himself. So that's where fellowshipping. All right. I told you we still get to enter prayer and all of that. Maybe not anymore. This, but you have to understand. We'll still do that. We have a whole lot of word of sessions coming up. You have to understand that your body is nourished by the earth because the earth is where the body came from. Your spirit came from God. So your spirit is nourished in fellowship, in relationship, and in union with God. So when we talk prayer, we shouldn't just talk prayer from, oh, prayer is laborious. Prayer, no, it's fellowship. You're feeding, you're interacting, you're relating. It's a spirit-to-spirit communion, spirit-to-spirit interaction, spirit-to-spirit. Do you know 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, when I pray in tongues, my spirit is the one praying. So even the prayer in the spirit shows the place of praying in tongues, shows the place of spirit and soul. When I pray in tongues, my spirit prays and my understanding is unfruitful. And this is where many people have been defeated. They say, I don't understand what I'm saying. I feel it's just gibberish. I don't get it. It's just, I'm just blabbing. Da, 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 da. Yes, because your mind does not like to be bypassed. Your mind wants to know what is being said, wants to grasp everything being said. So your mind goes, are you done now? Are you done now? I didn't get it, so it was a waste of time. No, when I pray in tongues, my spirit prays. And guess what? Your spirit is in tune with the spirit of God. So amplify it, please. Amplify it of this inverse. Amplify classic, this inverse. You'd love this. Beautiful, beautiful. And this would encourage you to pray more in the spirit. You know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hours. Pray more in the spirit. So the amplified classic makes it richer, brings out the juicy. 1 Corinthians 14 amplified. You know, classic says, when I pray in spirit or pray in tongues, all right, when I pray in an unknown tongue, watch this now, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays. Watch this. But my mind is unproductive. It bears no fruit and it helps nobody. But when I pray in tongues, and you pray in tongues, you pray in tongues, you pray in tongues, you pray in tongues, you pray in tongues. Anybody want to pray in tongues like a minute? Go ahead. Pray in tongues. Do it now if you can. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Koraba shige borobo shigaba. Then toro go susof yeve deke borobo shige vereke borobo tige biyeve deke de. On proroko dusof yeve deke buroko dusof yeve deke durogo buroko dusevi. Iriaga borobo torobo shige vereke borobo tige daga daga boshi vereke de. Non proroko doso. Pray in tongues. Kimanana borobo tige vere boroko do. Man pro shokoroko dusof yeve deke borobo turo biyeke de. Man proraga de. Sekire ke boro boshi ke vieve reke dege boshi pere ke de. Mon prorogo do sofre niska bronto dusko. Mine ke boro boshi ke voro ko doro ke jike bere ke dusove. O franondo karage dise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So which part of you did that praying? You see here. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the spirit within me, the Holy Spirit within me prays. You say, ah, but I don't like praying in tongues. I don't understand what I'm saying. You're missing out on a whole lot because the Holy Spirit is the one helping your spirit to pray that prayer. All of that prayer life is greater than that. You're praying out deep things, great things, these things that cannot experience any knowledge barrier. You're praying about your uncle, auntie, you're praying it in the spirit. You pray the right prayer as in you hit it home. All right. But then your mind says, hey, I don't get it. So to help your mind, two things happen. You give direction by praying in your understanding and praying Bible verses. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you because I'm praying about XYZ. Now, yes, you could start or think you're praying XYZ and the Spirit moves you off. So interpretation comes in, an awareness from the Spirit. All right, you start knowing, I veered off that. I know that wasn't what I was praying about. When he wants you to know, he'll let you know. Would it be every time? The answer will be no. Right, when he wants you to know, let you know. It might be something happens and then he goes, that's what, you know, I moved you on to pray the other day. So, but your mind needs it, because if your mind is not getting those directions, how do you cooperate with God? So you prayed in tongues about a direction, a business venture or kingdom, something, you prayed about it. And then Holy Spirit will have you take a step. Go down to Nineveh, go to Zarephath, leave your country, your father's house. You know, he wants, when he says that, it has to get up here for action. At that point, your mind has to be productive. Your mind has to pick the direction. Go this way, go that way, take this step, forgive that person. Your spirit picks it, it sends it to your mind. So you need your mind in the whole process. All right. So your body, you put under, your mind, you renew. All right. Your body you put under, your mind you renew. 1 Corinthians 9:27. So we've seen the renewal of the mind. All right. So I just mentioned now, number one, I said with my spirit, I contact the spirit world, with my mind, the mental, emotional, soulish realm, with my body, I contact the physical world. And I said the source is a sustainer. All right. My body is sourced from the earth. So my body feeds from the earth. All right. My spirit is sourced from God. So my spirit feeds from fellowship with God. My soul is a connector. My soul connects. My soul is for relationship and connection. So you relate to God, but God now puts people around us. God said, it is not good for man to be alone. So your soul wants to feed, right? Feed on its environment, learn from its environment, interpret its environment, feed from people, feed from relationships. And that's what your soul does. It's a connector. Connects with people and connects your spirit, soul, body. It's a connector. Did you get that? Now, Paul here, we'll just speak it quickly from the 24th verse, all right? From the 24th verse, 1 Corinthians 9:24. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So 1 Corinthians 9:24, Paul is saying here, know ye not that those that run in a race, everybody runs, but only one person wins the prize. And now says, run in such a way as you could get the prize. So verse 25. And every man that strives for mastery is self-controlled in all things. Now they that do it for a corruptible crown, but we do it for, so the things they pursue is perishable. The things we pursue in the kingdom can't, be corrupted. All right. Next one. I therefore so run, not as one that is uncertain. I fight not as one that beats the air. Now 27. See this. I keep my body under, I bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I preach to others, I should be a castle. So we'll begin to look at, I said, while opening yesterday that when it comes to developing strong spiritual muscles, many of us think it's all about the prayer and then the fasting. And yes, they have a major role to play. But you could pray and fast and then we miss it in the simple steps, and we're going to look at the simple steps. That verse 27 again, please. The simple steps, those simple steps, the simple steps. All right. So it says, I keep under my body. What do you do to your body? You keep it under. I bring it into subjection. If you allow your body, it will continue to do the things. We would all have wishes and desires, and that happens. It's happened to me a number of times. You have a wish and desire, like you're never going to get it if you keep allowing yourself to do this, if you keep allowing your body. And it's not until it's something wrong. I mean, Andromach, said something, and I like it. The fact that all of sin is carnal, but all of carnality is not sin. Carnality is just being fleshy, just being fleshy. It's not about sin, all right? That you slept an extra sleep, you didn't sin. Right, so that we don't build sin from where there's no sin, but if you keep allowing your body do only what your body wants, the prize, and that's what he's dealing with here, that you want to get, you don't get it. So you might end up having regrets. Oh, this is who I would have become, what I'd have become. So what do you do with your body? So we looked at source and sustainer. Remember that the body is sourced from the ground, feet from ground. Remember all of that. Aha. So now we're looking at what to do. What do you do with your body? You put it under. What you do with your mind, you renew it. What you do with your spirit, You keep feeding on God's word and acting on God's word. I repeat, body, put it under. Bring it into subjection. Put the body under. Put the body under. Put the body under. That's what you do with your body. What you do with your mind? Renew. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When you stop renewing your mind, you start to conform, whatever the topic is. You might be good on prayer and fasting, but you're not good when it comes to fear and dealing with fear. So you find out that you're conforming with the world and to the world when it comes to fear. What do you do? Renew your mind when it comes to fear. You're good with fear. You know how to deal with fear. The thoughts of fear, you pull them down and everything. But then you're not good when it comes to forgiving and loving and walking in love. Then you renew your mind on love walk, all right? So you're good with that. You're not good with maybe giving and all of that. Then renew your mind. It's a lifelong process, a lifelong project. But with your body, you put it on. And there's no point where you feel, I've put my body on that for a while. Let me allow it. Once you allow it, we might allow it and it gets us into a whole lot of trouble. So you put your body under, all right? You keep renewing your mind. Then you feed your spirit. Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4 said, man shall not live by bread alone, but man will live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Matthew 4, 4, man shall not live by bread alone. And man, you know, is spirit, soul, and body. Man is primarily spirit. He has a soul. He lives in a body. The body is the house. The soul is the connector. Man is spirit. So man, the real man, can't feed on bread alone. Bread would feed my body, but I can't live on bread alone. I have to live on the word that comes from the mouth of God. I have to live on it. I have to live it. Don't forget, the source is a sustainer and man is spirit. And Jesus said in John 6 and 63, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. The words I speak to you. So you feed on the word. It's spirit food. It's spirit food. You feed on it and then you grow. You feed on it. You feed on it and then you grow. You keep feeding on it. Glory to God. So these things are important, all right? You put your body on that. And when you run through the things the Bible says about the mind, it's quite interesting. I'm glad we talked about peace yesterday, all right? Isaiah 26, 3 says, he'll keep him in perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on him? There's peace in your spirit. There's peace, the fruit of the spirit, love, joy, peace. There's peace in you. But that peace will not find expression if you're always, and Philippians 4, we looked at it also yesterday. It says, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God, and the peace of God will guard your mind. So it means your mind has to first say, I'm going to go off this thought of panic. I'm going to move away from this thing that lets me think evil thoughts and think something's going to be wrong with me. I'm going to put my mind on the word of God. I remember a dear friend of mine, right? Thieves came into the area where he was living. I mean, and they were already knocking on one house, another house. And this chap opened up the Bible and sat with Psalm 91. Open up the Bible and someone said, what's he going to do? Because he knew that at that point in time, he was going to freak out. Listen, the believer has to come to a point where you know that once there's trouble, you go to the word. Once there's trouble, once there's an issue, go to the word. He knew he was going to freak out. He knew the only thing that would keep him is when he fixes his gaze on the word. He's hearing screaming. He's hearing, come out, lie down. He's hearing all of that horrible stuff going on. And he goes, I dwell in secret place of the most bad and unsure. You know, and then if you do this thing, panicky, 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 you know, a scared prayer is no account. It's, oh, you're panicky. Yeah, you're panicky. Relax. I dwell in secret place of the most bad and unsure. Oh, but they've come to the neighbor's house. Yes, 1,000. It's there. It's there. 1,000 may fall at my side. 10,000 at my right hand. And your mind was real. 1,000 may fall at my side. 10,000 at my right hand. It will not come near me. It will not come near me. Will not come near me. Will not come near me. I said, but what if they're still coming to the house and all of that? That word will still have a way of producing something. It would produce something. It has to produce. It has to. Maybe they walk in, say a few things, pick one or two things, and then the main money or main stuff that was there, they didn't even see, they walked away. And everybody else, oh, they came to my house, they carried this guy. And they're like, they didn't take anything from me. Not because you're goody-goody and they were bad Christians, but where was the mind at that particular point? He will keep him in perfect peace. Whose mind? Mind. Oh, this economy, things are bad, things are bad. Where's your mind? Where's your mind on the economy, on the news, on how things are skyrocketing in the market, or how horrible the exchange rate has become? Where's your mind? If your mind is, my God does supply my need. He supplies my need, not according to my economy, but according to his riches and glory by Christ. You put your mind, you put your mind, you put your mind, you put your mind. This is spiritual training. Because we could know the word and quote the word, but James chapter 1 says it's the doer that is blessed. To build spiritual muscles, you must know the word and do the word. Know the word, do the word. Know the word, do the word. It's not the guys that talk the word that are blessed. You know, some say, I'm blessed. Don't bless me. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Yes, we are blessed in Christ Jesus. But if you know all of that and you don't do the word, you will not let the blessing find expression. It's the doer of the word that is blessed. Do you understand this? And we all need to put this, you know, in the place it belongs. So to build solid spiritual muscles, we've got to. Hallelujah. Woo. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the mind has a major role it plays. It has a major role. Ephesians 4:17. I want us to read something. Ephesians 4, you know, and the 17th verse of Ephesians chapter 4. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. And I want you to see this. Paul is writing to Christians. Paul says to them, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you henceforth not walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. These are people that are born again. He's saying, don't walk like Gentiles. Don't walk. They walk in the vanity of their minds. Don't do that. He won't say they shouldn't if there was no possibility that they would. Don't walk. So your mind has a major role to play in your spiritual growth and development. It has to be renewed. It has to be exposed to the word of God. Verse 18, please. All right. Don't walk, all right, in the vanity of their minds. Watch this. It says, having their understanding darkened and being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. That's the unbeliever. All right. But when you start acting like them, start getting their results. Now, verse 19. Who, talking about them again, being in time past feelings, having given themselves over to lasciviousness, to walk all uncleanness and greediness. 20 now. But you, watch this, have not so learnt Christ. Learning involves mind. Did you get that? You have not so learnt Christ. If so be, all right, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. 22, watch this now. That you put off, concerning to put off, remove from yourself, concerning the former conversation. This is King James, so conversation is actually behavior. Right, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man is corrupt according to his deceitful lust. So the old nature, you don't have two natures, old nature. He now says be renewed, right? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Someone says spirit, mind, spirit of your mind. All right. So does the mind have a spirit? Don't get lost in all of that. Just keep it simple. It's still Paul who wrote to the Roman church telling them there's an old way of thinking like the world. And that's what we began from the 17th verse. Don't think like them. What do you do? Renew yourself in your mind. Renew yourself. Renew your mind. The only way not to be like them is to get into the word. Renew your mind. All right. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I love 24. Watch 24 now. And that you put on, how do you put on? Like a cloth? No, consciousness. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. All right? Which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. At this point, I will just, you know, talk a bit about that man on the inside, that spirit man. So he says the spirit man is created after God or according to God in righteousness and holiness of truth. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you understand that the spirit man is created in righteousness and holiness of truth? It gets exciting. So what are the characteristics of a rich man? I want you to see this now. Because the body is not renewed. What do you do with your body? We've said that you put your body under. Did you get that? You put your body under. To your mind, you renew your mind. You renew your mind. To your spirit, you feed your spirit. You keep letting your, because the soul and the spirit are together. They're fine-tuned. They're one. The only thing that has the capacity to separate soul and spirit is the word of God. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. In Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12, Bible tells us there, all right, that the word of God is quick and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Watch this. piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joint and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So it's the word of God that is able to separate soul and spirit. Outside the word of God, you could mix them up. That's why many books you read, they don't know about the spirit. They talk a lot more about the soul. They refer to the spirit as a subconscious mind. They have different names they call the spirit. Right, and some just get funny about it. The word of God is able, all right, to separate, dividing asunder soul from spirit. Dividing asunder soul from spirit. The word of God only has the capacity to do that. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I'm saying this so that you just get it. So back to that Ephesians 4:24, and just talk for a few minutes about who the spirit man really is. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. So I know a number of you are here. Turn on Instagram, just give them a few, maybe 10, 15 minutes of what we're getting in class. All right. Here's a few minutes of what we're getting in class, and I'll turn it off, son. Praise God. So Ephesians 4:24. Are you with me? Ephesians 4:24. Hallelujah. All right. Thank you. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Passion Translation, please. TPT. Passion Translation. Ephesians 4:24. Hallelujah. Glory to God. TPT or NLT. Either of the two. TPT, NLT. Just want to bring out, you know, a thought right here. But NLT is fine. Thank you. Watch this. Put on your new nature, created to be like God. Put it on. The new nature is already created to be like God. She says, put on your, I love this. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So no matter how much junk is going on in the believer's mind, don't forget we began from the 17th verse. No matter how much junk is going on in the believer's mind, no matter how much junk that believer is entertaining, that new man on the inside is truly righteous, truly holy. That new man. Oh, people say, oh, how could you say it's holy? Peter said, be you holy as I'm holy. It's context, because the same Peter in 1st chapter 2 verse 9 says, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. So Peter isn't confused. Peter is speaking in context. You are holy. And like Paul was dealing with right here, don't let your mind travel into things like those of the other unbelievers or of unbelievers. Don't think like them. If you think like them, you might end up acting like them. Just says, put off the old man, put on the new man. But I love this description about the new man. He is truly righteous, holy. So you don't say, oh God, oh, make me righteous. Oh God, when are you going to make me righteous? You are righteous. You are not trying to be righteous. You are right. You might not think righteous thoughts, and that's why you renew your mind, that you might not act righteously. That's why you put your body under. But remember the three circles we dealt with? That circle inside, that is the spirit, is righteous. Outside might have unrighteous thoughts. The outermost, which is the body, might have unrighteous acts. But the more you now allow your mind to think after the nature, Ephesians 4:24, of the man on the inside that is righteous, your mind begins to think righteous thoughts. What happens? When two out of three team up, they always win. And I told you that yesterday. When the soul teams up with the spirit, spirit will win. When the soul teams up with the body, body wins. So when your mind begins to think righteous thoughts, begin to think righteous thoughts, your body starts to conform. Your body will follow the spirit. It starts changing direction to the ways of the spirit. So your body is righteous. I mean, your spirit man is righteous and holy. This gets more interesting. There's a perfection also your body has, all right? In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. I love Hebrews 12, 22. Thank you there, Lord Jesus. I love Hebrews 12, 22. Because it begins to describe something. The writer of Hebrews, believably, Paul, people argue about it. But Hebrews 12, 22, Paul says, you have come to Mount Zion. What's happening in Mount Zion? Now, Zion is a spiritual positioning. It's who we are in Christ. It's where we have found ourselves in Christ, where we are right now. We've come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem. That's where we are. Zion, the righteous kingdom of God. It says we have come to the spirits of just men made perfect. Did you get that? We have come to spirits. All right. It's not that the spirits there are perfect, but your own spirit is not perfect. No, all the spirits in Zion are perfect. There's no imperfect spirit in Mount Zion. See that for yourself. No, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to the countless thousands of angels in a joyful gathering. All right. Verse 23 now, and I want you to see this. Verse 23, all right. You have come to the assembly of God's firstborn children, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God himself, who is the judge over all. You have come to the spirits of the righteous ones in heaven, who have now been made perfect. NLT. All right. Some might think, okay, is the guys? No, it's the spirit of the just man made perfect, because every spirit is like Christ Jesus. All right. You have come to the spirits. You've come into that gathering. All the heavenly spirits. Because watch this now. Your own citizenship. You are not. Let's touch it a little bit. The righteousness you have now is the exact righteousness of Jesus Christ. Your spirit cannot grow or increase in righteousness. It cannot get more righteous. Cannot get better righteousness. No. It has the exact righteousness. Why? Because 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 says, him that knew no sin, God made him to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. So the righteousness we have now is the very righteousness of God. All right, Jesus in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, right? Christ has been made unto us righteousness. He is our righteousness. So your spirit man has righteousness. All right, Colossians 2, 9 and 10. Colossians 2, my spirit is righteous and holy. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. All right, it says, for in him, that's in Christ, dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Next verse, 10 now. All right, in Christ dwells fullness of the God. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Say, I'm complete in him. Say it again. I am complete in him. I say it again. I am complete in him. I am complete in him. I am. Listen, there might be so much work to do in your mind or on your mind. There might be so much work to do in putting your body under, but you must understand that within me, there's a completeness. Within me, there's a completeness. Within me, there's a completeness. Did you get that? Let's play a bit around Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 and the 11th verse. Hebrews 2, 11. Hebrews 2:11. Hebrews 2:11 is beautiful. Watch this. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one. He that sanctifieth, that's Jesus Christ, and they that are sanctified are all one. For which reason he is not ashamed to call us brothers. Meaning we're righteous, we're holy, we're sanctified. Did you get that? We're righteous. This is your spiritual state. This is who you are. It's who you are. You're righteous. You're holy. You're sanctified. You might not think righteous thoughts. You might not think holy thoughts. You might not think sanctified thoughts. But you are righteous. You are holy. You are sanctified. When that reality begins to dawn on your mind, your body follows. Your body follows, all right? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. We'll pick two of them. 10th verse and then the 14th verse. Hebrews 10, 10. Hebrews 10, 10. Hebrews 10, 10. Praise Jesus. Hebrews 10, 10. All right. Glory to God. It says, by which will we are going to be sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. All right, let me read it again. By the which will we might be sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. No. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body. So not we will be sanctified, not we might be sanctified, we are sanctified. The 14th verse now of this same Hebrews 10:14. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. All right. It says, for by one offering he perfected forever them that are sanctified. So here you find perfection and you find sanctified. To perfect them means to complete. So when he hung on the cross and said it is finished, it finished. He's not coming back to finish up anything. He's not, oh God, the work you have not finished in me, come and do. No. If the work wasn't finished, Jesus wasn't going to resurrect. If the work wasn't finished, it wasn't going to ascend. Much more, if the work wasn't finished, it wasn't going to sit down anywhere. All right. If it wasn't finished. So he perfected. This perfection is different from Ephesians 4 that says the work of ministry is to perfect the saints. That perfection is maturity. And that's what we're doing here. By God's word, I'm equipping us. And then in us getting the word, acting on the word, we mature. Perfection. We get perfected. But this one is completion. We're complete. But we will now move that completion that is in our spirit into our minds outside for performance. All right. It says, for by one offering, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Come on, slap yourself a high five. All right. Slap yourself. I am sanctified. I am sanctified. All right. Because you are. He finished it. He perfected you. He completed you. Glory to God. Thank you there, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. 1 Corinthians 1 and 2. Paul is writing here and he's writing to the Corinthian church and he says to them, I'm writing to, thank you, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, which with all that at every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, both yours and ours. Hold on. These are the guys in chapter 3 that he said were carnal. Carnal guys, carnal. These are the guys, you know, in by chapter 5, someone was carrying his father's wife and, you know, living with her and rolling into church like nothing was wrong. By chapter 6, are the guys that were, you know, taking themselves to court. By chapter 7, I mean, you know, if you read the book of Corinth, you see the whole drama going on there. And he said that they were sanctified. They might not live sanctified lives. They might not think sanctified thoughts. They might not do sanctified things, but these guys are sanctified. Same for you. And that's all learning the spiritual body to now build solid spiritual development. You must first of all understand that in your spirit is perfection. In your spirit is eternal life. Inside of you, right there. Oh, glory to God. Inside you. Now I want you to see 1 Corinthians, that same 6, 9 to 11. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I love the way he put it to them. Dare any one of you having a matter go against another? I knew there was something. Know ye not that unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? I want you to follow this. Don't you know that unrighteousness will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, follow me please. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. All right. Verse 10. No thieves, not covetous people, not drunkards, not revilers, not extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11. Ooh, glory to God. Glory to God. And such were some of you. But, hallelujah, you are washed. But you are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Such were some of you. Drunkards and all of that. These guys are still getting drunk. You remember 1 Corinthians 11. When they come to have the communion, you know, the fellowship of the brethren, some guys have eaten up and, you know, drunk up and be drunk before some people come. These guys were involved in, you know, and he told them, move away from idolatry. What has light got to do with darkness? Those behaviors were still amongst them, but he was pointing to who they were in the spirit. You are sanctified. You are justified. You are washed. You are, glory to God. Say to yourself, I am washed. I am sanctified. I am justified. Hallelujah. I am justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. I am. I'm not trying to be. I am. I am. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I am sanctified, justified. Glory to God. This is who you are. So we'll go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and the 20th verse. It's the same Paul. And if you notice the writings of Paul, he will talk to you about who you are, but then he will correct your behavior. But he's not correcting behavior and say, if you don't do this thing, you are not righteous. No, he says you are righteous, but let it flow. You are sanctified. Let it flow. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and the 20th verse. 20th, we'll speak 20 and then we'll do 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 20. All right. Thank you. He says, but in a great house. Yeah, that's it. 2 Corinthians 2:20. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. In a great house. So he's telling them that. All right. Now the 21st verse. If any man purge himself of these, or I had discussed some things earlier, you shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. Now God has already set you apart for good work. Your spirit man is sanctified, but by the renewing of your mind and putting your body under, you are now doing your own work in the physical of the sanctification. Did you get that now? You're doing your own part of it. That's why people teach a twofold sanctification God has done. God has made you righteous. But hey, you leave it out. God has made you holy. But what people now do is say, oh, she's not doing or living a righteous life. And you know, you could pick that from the writing of John. John said, he that doeth righteousness is righteous. Paul was trying to talk about the behavior of the righteousness, not the nature of the righteousness. The nature of the righteousness of God is by faith. The nature of righteousness of God is what you receive. You don't do anything to get it. All right. You don't do anything to get it. Glory to God. Glory to God. You don't do anything to get this. So your spirit has the life and the nature of God in it. What do I do to build stability in the things of the spirit? We just have about 10 minutes. I'm going to log out from Instagram. Okay. I just did a bit on Instagram so people see what's happening. Word up. So I'll log out now and then, well, hey, you get what up on Zoom. No, did I say Zoom? No, we are on Zoom. You get what up on YouTube. When it's up, notifications will be out and then it will bless you. Okay. So let me say bye bye to you guys on this side. Thank you. All right. Now, okay. So now I want you to see this. Time's almost up. I need to think about this question and answer thing, but I'm glad I would like to believe. I'm glad that, that you join me again in 2 weeks time. This is amazing. I told you when we began, I have notes that if we meet every weekend, we'll go on for many, many, many weeks. I've learned a whole lot of these things over months, over years, really. So trying to say them in a short time so that you could get it and not just rush over it. All right. We need to take our time. I almost thought, okay, could this be monthly? And I knew, nah, there's a lot to cover. It can't be monthly, but I mean, bi-monthly is just so, so perfect. Oh, dear Lord. Oh, dear Lord. All right. You might want to write this down and then whatever I could touch, we will touch and then we'll pick it up from there sometime. Having laid this beautiful foundation, in order to work effectively, all right, in building your spiritual muscles, you have to walk in the spirit. Please write it down. You have to walk in the spirit. Now, my next point is in my first point, but please allow me to make it a second point. You have to walk in the spirit. You have to walk in love. All right, so my first point, you have to walk in the spirit. My next point, you have to walk in love. The third point, you have to walk by faith. Do you understand that? Please. All right. So you have to walk in the spirit. You have to walk in love. You have to walk by faith. Then you have to rightly divide the word of God. All right. You have to. And then you have to do the word of God. That is a whole lot. So let's see how quick I can try and explain this thing, but we might just do the webinar part two. All right. But let me know, comment if you've been blessed. I believe that this, all right, praise God, has been a blessing to you. Praise God. Now, walking in the spirit, it is walking in love. Walking in love isn't walking. Walking in the spirit is not putting your Bible under your, you know, on armpit, you know, somewhere in your bag and just talking in tongues down the whole street. It's fine, but it's not enough. It's not enough. Walking in the spirit. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 13 and then go to Galatians 5 quickly. And then we might just end it up there. Developing spiritual muscles. Deeply spiritual people develop their love walk. Paul in Ephesians chapter 3 prays that you may understand the length, the breadth, the depth and the height, all right, of the love of God. And then you have the capacity to flow in the fullness of God. So a connected love and your revelation of the love walk with the fullness of God. He connected both, right? We just want to talk about the gifts of the spirit, but it's not enough. So 1 Corinthians, all right? And the 13th verse, let me just pick it up, all right? I think battery needed to be charged over there, but I'm sure you have your Bibles. So just run through next few minutes together. So 1 Corinthians and the 13th verse. Nah, let's do 1 Corinthians 4, 12, and let me show you something. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at the very last verse of 1 Corinthians 12. At the end of 1 Corinthians 12, Paul had dealt with gifts of the Spirit, the administration, ministry gifts, offices, and all of that. The last verse, verse 31, 1 Corinthians 12, 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and I will show unto you a more excellent way. So it says covet the gifts. Covet. You should want the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom and prophecy and tongues. And I want you to covet the best of these gifts. And Bible scholars will say the best of the best to be the word of wisdom. When we talk about spiritual gifts, we will deal with that. The word of wisdom is the best of the best. All right. Of, if you want to pick one out of everything, it unlocks a whole lot. So chapter 13, verse 1, it now says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I have not charity. I'm using King James, but it's not have. You have love. Right, but I display not charity. I am become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Verse 2, though I have the gift of prophecy, I understand all mystery, all right, and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and I have not charity, I am nothing. So he's saying you could speak tongues of men and of angels. And then you have gift of prophecy, you understand mysteries, you have all knowledge, you have faith to move mountains. Verse 3 says, even if you give your body to be burnt, I mean, you give your goods to feed the poor and then you give your body to be burnt at the stake, you have enough, you're nothing. It's not removing, don't forget, chapter 12 ended with, covet the best gift. I want to show you a more excellent way. So the more excellent way is have all of this, but walk in love. Have all of this, walk in love. Have all of this. Walk in love. It's not, you know, cause sometimes we could read it and say, well, Paul is saying that love is not important. No, I mean, that the gifts are not important. Love is the only thing important. No, Paul doesn't want a good Christian that is a powerless Christian. Did you get that? He doesn't want you good, nice, wonderful, but powerless. But then he doesn't want you just so powerful and then mean. All right. Even the guy who by verse 3, though I bestow my, you know, goods to feed the poor and then I give my body to be burnt and I still don't walk in love. So I could do all of this philanthropy, social media stunts and all of that. But if I do not walk in love, and then it goes further to explain the love walk. We won't be able to do that right now. But the hallmark, do you remember Jesus in John 13 says, this is how men will know that you are my disciples. They say when you blast out power. Now in Mark 16 says, these signs will follow them that believe. Yes. But in John 13, he said, this is how they'll know you are my disciple when they see your love walk. There's something about the love work when it comes to maturity, spiritual maturity. Gifts of the Spirit are gifts. So the Corinthian church, remember by chapter 3, Paul called them babies, but they had gifts. So babies can have gifts. I know the feeling of, you know, and we need to be careful. In the body of Christ right now, someone could prophesy and then we make the person one. And like someone was, you know, asking us a question yesterday, you just turn the person to one God. You know, they say, can I prophesy? People cannot prophesy and say, prophesy, prophesy. And then we do a lot of injustice because 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. It's a gift. It's a gift, but we now brag over how we fasted and prayed. So because, listen, there's a place where your maturity and all of that can unlock things. So we teach a lot more of that than we teach the regular, it's a gift. And with the body of Christ, to know it is a gift. It's just a gift. That's what it is. Gifts of the Spirit. So these guys in Corinthians were carnal people. They were babies and then they had gifts. Babies can have gifts, but it takes maturity to walk in love. I repeat, babies can have gifts. It takes maturity to walk in love. And that's why Paul said again, do you have all these gifts, all these operations, all these manifestations, all this good behavior? If you do not walk in love, you're missing something. By Galatians chapter 5, all right, Paul is teaching walking in the Spirit. And as I said, my first point is walking in spirit. My second point is walking in love. Walking in the Spirit is walking in love. Walking in love is, I mean, it's there. But he says this, I say, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So how do I walk in the Spirit? What are you doing? Walking in the Spirit. What are you doing? Walking in the Spirit. I could finish that and still get mad and slap somebody. Why? I didn't walk in the Spirit. I just talked in tongues. Walking in the Spirit, not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's just run through quickly. For the flesh lusts against spirit, spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so that the things you want to do, you cannot do. All right, verse 19. Just go straight. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation. So he's talking about the works of the flesh, not the works of the devil. Spirit, if your soul teams up with your body, all these things can come out of it, all right? Revelings, wild party. You find Christians doing all that now, smoking stuff and doing, hey, we're just having, you know, it's my life. No, it's not. It's not yours. Good. Fruit of the spirit is love, but that's a topic on its own. But it's a fruit of the spirit. So it says walk in the spirit. Fruit of the spirit is love. So if I'm walking in spirit, I walk in love. If I'm walking in spirit, I walk in joy. If I'm walking in spirit, this spiritual maturity. Thank God for the gifts. And we're going to teach on the gifts. We're going to talk about, we need the gifts. We need power in the body of Christ. We'll be powerless. We'll be helpless without the gifts. But this is stability. This is maturity here. And Paul says the excellent way is the gift plus the fruit. All right. You walk in long suffering. You tell your body no. That's why sometimes we could grow big and popular as believers and then we misbehave one way. It means at some point we stop putting our body under. So long suffering and patience. So when I walk in goodness and I walk in faith, I'm walking in the spirit. All right. Let's go on. 23. All right. When I walk in meekness, when I walk in self-control, against this, there's no law. There's no overdose when it comes to any of these things. No overdose. All right. Look at the 25th verse, 25 now. I want you to see something. If you live in the spirit, and you do, let us also walk. So I could live in the spirit. My spirit is high. My spirit is full of Christ and everything, but am I walking in the spirit? I could blast a lot in tongues, but I'm not walking in love. I'm not forgiving people. I'm not patient with people. No. So my spiritual maturity is not in how many years I've been in church. My spiritual maturity is not in how many gifts I fly or how many Bible scriptures I quote. It's how well, you know, I do what I'm supposed to do. Time up, guys, but walking in the spirit, walking in love, walking by faith. Oh, I missed that one. Very crucial. Being led by the spirit. And I touched it yesterday. As many as are led by the spirit, they are the sons of God. If you want to develop spiritual muscles, start getting to yield to the leading of the spirit. Some people fast and fast and fast and God speaks and they blank him out. I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to do that. No, come on then. Why were you fasting and praying? Or you fasting and praying. Glory to God. Now I know, yes, but you didn't still talk about prayer. We will. But these will build stability. These will build strength. I know there's the other question about, you know, forgiveness of sin, but please, like I said, we will need time to deal with it a whole lot better. We need time. Let me leave that to when we talk about righteousness. I believe you have been blessed. All right. So we will be back again 2 weeks time. Word up on a Saturday, Sunday. Details will be given to you. Thanks for joining. Please, if you have questions like this one, if you want to expand it, I could answer you actually, chat via email. We could talk a lot about it. And then what other questions people might have, we could talk a whole lot about it. And then comments, questions, whatever I have, please drop them. This is free. It would always be free. But if you're led to give towards it, whatever we do to, you know, we're going to have guests and all of that. But I'll talk about that maybe next episode or something. If you want to, but you could visit the website, lanrayrex.com. There's a giving page there. Yeah, feel free if you want to give. But Word Up is free. We just want believers. We want it to be in Zoom so we have an enclosed environment. Just get people to get the word and all of that. So thank you for tuning in. I really, 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 really appreciate your time and looking forward to us wording up more and more. Hasta luego. All right. Bye.